Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, wow. Sir.
Dude, hey, where you been?
Oh, I've been tuning in for the last few weeks. I've just been keeping quiet. But this guy's either, very brilliant, that nerdy kind of pocket-protecting brilliant, or he was simply in the right place at the right time.
Here. I don't know if you guys know the turtle, Matt Charney, but he told me on Twitter this week that I'm better in person. I don't think so. He said I'm easier to take in person. Well, I always thought the show was better than real life. Everybody to each his own. That's what I want to say, to each his own. Hey, I didn't say the date. It's September 12th, 2012. September 12th. 2012, and you know what? I didn't realize it before, but what we run here on the Recruiting Animal Show is an Apple-style radio show. An Apple-style radio show. Apparently, lots of bosses admire Steve Jobs for his radical honesty. His radical honesty. Some people call it rude. Some people call it bad manners. But others call it freedom. They think it's great to be able to speak their minds for a change and call a spade a spade. At a company called Bridgewater Associates, all the employees are expected to speak without filters. That's how they term it. No filters and no concerns about hurting other people's feelings. You know, it's just assumed they're human beings, they're going to fight with each other, they're going to clash, and that's assumed to be a good thing. The boss says it's hard at first for a new employee if you're not used to it, but after a while, you can't do without it. And that reminds me of what some people have said about this show. They said, Animal, when I first met you, I thought you were a jerk. And I hated your stupid show. And I still think you're a jerk, but you know what? I don't hate the show anymore. Kind of grows on you. You see, Steve Jobs believed that most people aren't used to working someplace where excellence is expected. They're lazy, and they have to be stretched to discover what they can do. And you stretch people by telling them frankly what they're doing wrong. Steve Jobs fired the Mobile Me team from the stage of the Apple Auditorium. He was on stage, and he fired them in front of everybody. How do you like that for frankness? You can't get much more frank than that. And he used to like to answer customer email in the middle of the night with lines like, here's why you're an idiot. And that sounds a bit like the Animal After Show, doesn't it? And you know what? I think we are the Apple of the Apple of Recruiting Radio. We're the Apple of Recruiting Radio, and all I want now is someone to show me the money for being that on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry!
You betcha.
Now, we had a guy named Todd Lafferty.
Yep.
He's laughing at us now, maybe. Todd Lafferty, he's the VP of sales from Repify, our old friend.
Mm-hmm,
and he
mm-hmm.
scheduled himself to come. He approached me. He mm-hmm. wanted to come on today for the first half of the show so he could add something to what we didn't learn, he claims, last time about his wonderful firm. But he sent you, Jerry,
mm-hmm.
a note at the last minute saying yep. he couldn't make it today.
Understandably so.
He didn't send me a note.
Understandably so.
He sent you note. I just found out.
A lot of people are in touch with me about scheduling in the different parts of this.
You can take over all the agencies if you want, Jer. I don't mind.
No, I'm not qualified to run such a big organization.
Yeah, right.
As Apple and the Animal Show.
The Apple. We're the Apple of the recruiter's eye. Anyway, our good friend Charles Chucky Krugel, the labor lawyer from Chicago, he was going to come on at the second half of the show, so instead he volunteered to move himself up to noon. Mm. Charles, are you here?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Hey.
See you again. Nice to see you. Okay, someone told me that they don't think you talk in a lively enough manner, so I want you to pep it up today, okay?
All right. I've had a lot of coffee,
Okay, good. I hope so. Okay, but you know what? I have a question. I got some extra time now since the other guest I prepared for canceled. I have a grooming question. You know that furry or fluffy kind of hair on your neck below your hair on your head? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they call that the nape, I believe.
Nape.
The nape of your neck. That's in the center, I think, of your neck is the nape.
Okay.
This is more on each side. You know, I never cut that unless I go for a haircut. But just this week, I cut it and I shaved it, actually, and it feels quite different. It feels like I just had a haircut and I didn't have one. I was wondering how other people handled that or if it was a
grooming. I bet you're looking good. I bet you're looking really good right now.
It's like a Seinfeld bit. In fact, I was on Seinfeld.
It was?
Yeah. It's been on there. I mean, I'm a huge Seinfeld fan. I remember George doing that. You know, he's complaining to Jerry about it. I just feel like I've had a haircut and I haven't or something like that.
I see. Well, great minds. Okay, so you're from Chicago. We got I think we sang this last time you were on. That song from Chicago.
You Leave Me
Now.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
I don't think you did a good job last time, so...
I wasn't lively enough, I guess.
Maybe not, but I'm going to keep doing this song with you until you get it right.
All right.
Okay, you ready? Do you remember it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a pretty common
song. I've got a link to the tune and a link to the lyrics right on the page for the recruitinganimalshow.com. Okay, so we're going to start right now, okay?
Okay.
One, two, three.
If you leave me now, you'll take away the biggest part of me.
And if you leave me now, you'll take away the very heart of me.
Ooh, baby, please don't go.
I want you to stay. That's enough. Okay.
And that was beautiful.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Tears in my eyes.
Not everybody knows you. So you want to give us your elevator speech?
Sure. I'm a management side labor and employment lawyer and human resources counselor based in Chicago, representing small to medium-sized businesses.
Would you ever
work with a large business?
Sure, but they don't usually look at a solo practitioner like myself.
Okay.
Yes, so that's why I say I focus on small to medium-sized businesses, the natural affinity.
Good point.
And your website is Charles A. Krugel, KRUGEL, right?
That's right, .com.
.com, okay. But you like to be called Chuck, and I noticed I was looking for some pictures for the show. You like to have the casual brand. You're a board member somewhere, and you're wearing a jean jacket or something like that in the picture for the website.
No, not a jean jacket. It's just a V-neck sweater.
Okay. I mean, so what's with that? I mean, you're not wearing a tie and a jacket. What's up with that?
I've had people bring this issue to me. Yeah, I don't know. It's just I kind of think that suits, and actually, I believe this about titles too. That suits titles, things like that. You know, are kind of ostentatious or pretentious.
Okay, I agree with you. You know, we're anti-authority. Just I don't think they should be a first lady. We don't have one in Canada. She didn't get elected. They still call Mitt Romney Governor Romney. He's not the governor. I don't get that stuff.
I've always loved putting him above
other people.
My favorite title is honorable.
We have that here, but let's move on. Look, this is actually it's a crossover here that I'm going to keep coming back to today between politics and employment. Canada, I don't know if you guys are aware, We are world leaders. We just closed our embassy in Iran, and we're kicking their diplomats out of Canada. You know about that?
Yeah. I heard about that. That's very cool.
It's
in response to Netanyahu's statements concerning Iran's nuclear initiatives.
There's no proof that it's in response to any, but we don't know why. Nobody here knows why it was done, okay? It's a radical move. No one knows why. And yesterday I also noticed that there's a formation here in Canada of a new moderate Muslim group that aims to fight extremist propaganda directed at young Muslims. So let's say you're a member of that group. You're a liberal Muslim, and you know a lot of Muslims because you're a member of that community. You're liberal, but you're still religious, for instance, so you go to mosque regularly and you meet people. And there's been true here that people who go on TV and express liberal opinions from within the Muslim community, sometimes they get death threats. So let's say you're a member of this group, you've had some death threats, someone applies to your firm who you know from the community is a supporter of Iran. Can you turn him down?
Yeah, you can turn them down based on their on the underlying behavior, not based on the religious affiliation. You're getting into a dangerous area, though, in terms of, and it's not a freedom of speech issue, and when you're talking about hiring somebody, but really it's the religious issue, and you want to be careful about not discriminating against them on the basis of their religion, but on the basis of ideas or what they say, their behavior, you know, what they've explicitly manifested in the media.
And I don't have a clue. That's legal talk. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you can
this
focus
person,
on what, you can focus.
The person, listen to me. The person, no wonder they said you're too low-key. The person has had death threats. They know this guy goes to follows. There's a leader in our community here who's an avid supporter of Iran, thinks it's just the greatest place in the world. This guy, you know, likes that person, right? You've had death threats from people, and you don't want to hire this person. You're actually, you don't like him, you don't like his views, and you're afraid for yourself as well. Is it, what's the reason? Can you turn him down and you're going to get sued? You're both Muslims.
Well, the question isn't whether you're going to get sued. Can you turn him down and will you be held legally liable? I mean, are you going to be on the hook for not hiring that person? And I believe, I can't say for sure, honestly. I think what it's going to come down to is whether or not those statements, the death threats, are public, whether they've been publicly expressed or not. If all you're talking about is some vague connection from one to the other, from the death threats that someone else has said.
You know what? You should have been in George Bush's cabinet. It came out there was an article yesterday in the paper. It said the CIA was begging him to do something about the threat from Al-Qaeda way back in May and June of 2001, and they didn't take it seriously. This person has had death threats, right? And the people who are his opposition, his political opposition in the community, if somebody applies to you for a job, can you say, I'm afraid of that person? He might be a spy coming in here for me.
Hey, why do you have to tell him why you're turning him down?
Well, you're not going to, as a company, you wouldn't tell them why you're turning them down. But if the person believes that there's a connection between their affiliations, their friendships, and it's based on religion.
Then he needs to prove it.
What?
He needs to prove it, doesn't he?
Yeah, you need to prove it. And if there's statements actually in the media that the affiliate has said that we're going to kill this person,
he didn't say it. Come on. But he's, let's say, a member of an organization that has, pro-Syrian or pro-Iran. We have those kind of things here, the demonstrations at the legislative buildings. You know that guy's in that group, okay? Okay, I won't beat this to the ground. You don't have an answer. No answer. Okay.
All right.
Fine. False advertising. Okay. Someone posted on an article today, Janine Truitt, her name is. I recently came across a job posting for a human resources business partner. But when I examined it closely, I saw that requirement after requirement reeked of recruiter. companies shouldn't arbitrarily choose a title for a position. There needs to be some logical link between the internal title and the real world title as most people in the industry know it. I think she's right.
I would agree as a, from a policy standpoint, yeah, but legally I don't – this is similar to the Ruse Crawling thing we spoke about a few years ago. I don't think there's any law that explicitly prohibits doing that type of thing.
So I can have a vegetable store and I can put out the apples and call them pears. Is that legit?
Yeah, I mean that's freedom of speech.
Somebody going to say something there?
In the U.S. has been going through the same debate right now, especially in the Supreme Court regarding the Stolen Valor Act. People who are out there saying that they've had military experience, you know, when they're politically campaigning, saying that and they're lying about that.
Over, I mean, if you come for a job and you say you're a veteran and you're not, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, basically, well, in the Stolen Valor Act, what you were talking about is criminal
stolen
penalty.
Stolen what? Valor?
Yeah,
valor? Like bravery?
V-A-L-O-R, yeah.
Okay.
So the difference is they're trying to hold people criminally liable under Stolen Valor Act, and the courts have said they can't. So there's no criminal prohibition against that, although the company can, you know, refuse to hire somebody for lying about, you know, their military service or status.
Okay.
In
and
the
likewise,
case that you're talking about, you know, misclassifying a job, basically, there's no law that prevents that. The closest that I'm aware of would be the Fair Labor, like in the United States, is the Fair Labor Standards Act. You're talking about classifying an employee as either an independent contractor or an employee.
That's something completely different.
Yeah.
Anybody else got a comment or a question for Charles Chucky Krugel before I go on? Jerry? No?
Hello?
Sleep groan.
Yeah, he's bored. You're putting Jerry to sleep. Come on. Get him a pillow. Okay, now we're going to move on to Elizabeth Warren. If this doesn't wake him up, nothing's going to.
Who?
The woman who's running for Senate, right, in the United States?
Oh,
that's running for the Senate.
Elizabeth High Cheekbones Warren?
That's right,
that's
yeah.
Her.
Oh, okay.
That's her. Now,
that's
she's
her.
She's a law professor at Harvard. Am I right about that? I think so, right?
Yeah, I believe you're
okay.
Right.
Okay. And she claims, and she's registered, and they've bragged about her on their website, apparently, that she is a minority woman who has a PhD in law, and she's a professor, and she's running for the Senate because she claims to be Cherokee. And her whole claim, apparently, is just on the basis that her grandmother's photo, in her grandmother's photo, the grandmother has high cheekbones, or a great-grandmother, I think it is, right?
Yeah. That's right.
And so, look, she's got a lot of credit for that. I've noticed here in Canada, for instance, that certain jobs put out by the government are only available to Aboriginal people, First Nations people. If there's a job and it's restricted to certain groups and you claim to be a member of that group, what do they do? Do they take your fingerprints or how do they check you? Do you have to do a DNA test? What's the story?
There's no requirement of any sort of testing, like DNA testing, fingerprinting, ocular scanning, whatever. I mean, basically, you could do a background search, like a Google search or any sort of your typical credit checks or anything like that to find out, you know, whatever you can about a person's history. But none of this may connect to, this, like in Elizabeth Warren's case, this claim that she's of Cherokee origins, which was to me is a lie. My opinion.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, I don't think she's lying. She must be deluding herself. I just can't believe she's a liar like that, right? But apparently her family was on the other side. They were persecuting Cherokee, not Cherokee themselves. Now that it became a public issue, people have looked into her genealogy.
I tend to be cynical when it comes to politics, and I think if it sounds like a politician is lying, then they probably are.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, we've seen this before. Again, this is the same thing like with the Stolen Valor Act. Political candidates are always out there talking about fluffing up military experience or their personal stories, things like that.
Like John Kerry.
Paul Ryan was just recently caught in a lie about his marathon time.
Yeah, that's absurd. I mean, why would he do that? I mean, it makes – for that little thing, he looks like a total liar, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like a liar.
Okay, and I guess it's the same thing in an interview. If you lie about something small, they might say, this guy's just I can't trust him at all. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, you can come away with that conclusion based on a minor misrepresentation, whether it was intentional or just a mistake.
So if you've got great credentials for a job and there's a number of candidates and they pass you over and you think that it was for some other reason of bias, and you take them to court and the company claims this guy, said this, and it's a petty issue like this marathon time, irrelevant to the job, but you see it as a matter of character and his behavior. That's a legitimate way to rule somebody out, is it?
Yeah, it could be, yes.
Okay. Anything else? No? Anybody? Okay, it's just me. It's just me and you today, I guess. It's
yeah.
Okay. But when you used to come on, people used to fight with you a lot. Is Maureen here?
I'm here.
Oh, Maureen. Delay saying I'm here as long as possible, Maureen. It's okay with me.
I guess my monotone voice and style is like...
okay. Anyway, because I have Maureen's got a question, but I'd like to ask a few other questions before I get to Maureen. Is that okay, Maureen?
Okay, but what is my question? I'm not sure I have one.
Well, then you might as well. I'm not going to tell you, so you'll stay on. You won't hang up.
You can say it's my question.
Okay. Is it about the Justice Department thing? Yeah, I'd like to talk about that
a
little bit. Okay.
Yes, what else would it be?
Yeah, okay.
What's your question, Jerry?
I don't have one.
Okay.
Now, I was just saying that you could say that Maureen's question was mine to make it seem like I'm a little more involved in the topic today because I've got an obligation to the show.
Okay.
I'll let Jerry ask the question.
What it is. Okay. But look, Jerry, hang up if you're not interested. Yeah, I'm interested in these things. I think about these things.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article on Slate Magazine the other day by Matt Iglesias. He's a very popular writer. He said Apple is too white and too male. The executives at Apple are all white and they're all men. And he claimed that this is a problem to be solved. The company was in the dumps 10 years ago. Now they're number one. They're doing something right. I'm wondering if any principle but business should drive their hiring decisions. Can the government go after them?
The government can... If the government believes that that Apple is what the theory would be is disparate impact or disparate treatment, that they're treating females differently than males, and therefore they're illegally excluding them from executive positions. You know, the glass ceiling is the informal way of calling it.
That would be true.
But based on Apple's performance, there's publicly. Apple is listed as one of the greatest corporations of all time, one of the highest performing corporations of all time. So the results could justify the hiring, that it was basically just random. It was just random that the white males were chosen.
So, but someone could charge them, right? It looks suspicious, right?
It looks kind of funny, but whether it's illegal, to say it's illegal based on what their performance has been, I think it's kind of a weak argument.
Okay.
And I don't think it's going to hold a lot of water. If the company was in the dumps, if there was constant turnover among the executive ranks, and among the constant turnover among the executive ranks, it was all white males, and the stock was, basically in the tank because, in Apple's case, they're publicly held. And, you could make a stronger argument.
Okay. Next issue, conflict of interest. What if you find out that members of your staff own shares in your competitors' companies? Can you get rid of them?
Yeah, you can have a policy such as that, a sort of disclosure policy where basically they have to disclose their financial holdings in publicly held companies or, in other companies so that they're not there's no conflict of interest there.
I've never encountered it. Has anybody online ever heard of that?
No, I've never heard of that. That's interesting.
I've never seen it myself with privately held companies, but I'm sure there are some companies that do that type of thing. And
go ahead. What prompted that question? I'm taking stuff that's right out of the news. I saw today that someone in the Prime Minister's office is being charged as having a conflict of interest with Barrick Gold, the largest gold company in the world that's based here in Toronto. So I wondered, that might be something. So you're saying it's a legitimate question, but it probably only happens at the most senior levels. Is that right?
Most likely, yeah. You're going to have to – there should be some sort of – especially from a human resources standpoint, there should be some sort of justification as to why you want to exclude people from you know, not holding stock or an ownership interest, or you know, in another company.
Well,
or,
it seems
to
me, if you're responsible for the design of a product that's Samsung and Apple, I mean, you don't want somebody who can screw things up just so they'll make money on the competitor doing better than you.
Well,
that's a real issue.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of access to information that they have.
They're designing the product.
I'm sorry?
They're designing the product. I don't
know
what more access.
That would be access to exclusive information. Yeah. There would be a definite problem, conflict with that.
Have you ever seen, or did you ever see, I don't know, 10 years ago, Ally McBeal?
No, I never saw it, but I'm familiar with the show. I mean, everybody used to talk about
this question must have come
dancing
up.
Baby and all that.
Yeah, they had transgendered, they didn't call it that in those days. They had transgendered washrooms. I saw an article in the paper today. Men and women at the University of Victoria, that's in British Columbia, can now use the same facilities with the opening of Canada's first gender-neutral public washrooms. Okay. Can you ask someone in an interview if that's an issue? Because it will be an issue. And can you rule them out of the company for cultural reasons but for that reason?
I wouldn't ask them that, because it's the same thing as asking somebody about race, national origin, or anything like that. And if you're going to start getting, you know, you basically it leads, or disability. I mean, this always comes up with disability issues. You basically just want to ask them, can they perform the essential or functions of the job?
You know what? I think going to the washroom is a big deal. I mean, let's say your office is not, there's no Starbucks downstairs or something like that. It's an issue. It's a real hands-on, down-to-earth life issue. You can't really have anybody working there who's not comfortable with all kinds of people using the same washroom.
Yeah, but then you get into the debate, just the same debate you get into with disability accommodation. Is the accommodation reasonable or not? Would the company have to install or create a whole new bathroom? And is that going to is it financially feasible for the company to do so?
What if somebody says that my religion forbids me to mix sexes like that or genders in such close quarters with their pants down?
And there might have to be some accommodation made then. Maybe there would have to be hours, you know, maybe some, you know, rotating
cut
hours.
The washroom.
Or you have a sign.
Is
you have a sign.
Is this am I the only one who finds that an interesting topic?
It is interesting, but I think the accommodation or the accommodation is easily reached. You know, you could have a sign-up sheet or something like that, or like a placard, one of those placards you put on the doorknob or something like that.
Okay, let's go to Maureen's. Let's go to Maureen's topic. Okay, nobody seems to like mine. Okay, no poach agreements. Google.
Before we go there, can I ask about something that I've been thinking about?
Go ahead.
And it has
go
to
ahead.
Do with candidates that have legal problems in their background. You know, misdemeanors, felons. Is there government? I don't know if it's you could call it legislation, but maybe you can. Are they getting involved in that? In so much as to lower those barriers for those people to enter the employment
world? Well, if I understand what you're asking, your question correctly, the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in the U.S., has actually issued guidelines this year, it may have been about 4 months ago, regarding the use of criminal background checking of people, because they're concerned that it disproportionately impacts against minorities, specifically blacks and Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to be arrested more often, you know, criminal profiling, things like that. So the EEOC in the U.S. is really scrutinizing that a lot more carefully now. So if you're going to do criminal background checking, you know, the general advice is to make sure that it's relevant to the job and that you're using a credible or valid checking procedure.
Mm-hmm. What would valid checking procedure be?
A company that would maybe look through actual court records, as opposed to just doing a cursory internet search. You know, looking at actual convictions at various at the counties where, or in the counties or the jurisdictions where the people have lived, maybe in the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, going a lot of judges I've heard like to use 5 years as a kind of like the general rule of thumb for background checking, although. If it's justified, or if you can make a valid, a legitimate justification, you could probably go further back. especially in the case of violent crimes, are people who work with children or people who have access to money, large amounts of money, things like that.
Is it true that a large part, a very large part of the population has some type of serious misdemeanor or felony in their background?
Well, as one judge once said, or I heard a federal judge once say, you could get arrested for crossing the street the wrong way. Arrest and convictions are two completely different things. There's a lot of jurisdictions in the United States that say you cannot use an arrest record as a reason to disqualify somebody from a job.
So you have to use a conviction record?
You can use a conviction record, but as I, you know, just discussed, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is closely scrutinizing now whether or not, you know, the conviction itself is connected to the job, or whether the conduct you're trying to exclude from the job is really connected. You know, again, is it connected to the essential functions of the job?
So kind of like disability guidelines.
So, yeah, very similar to that. And the EEOC is going after companies now, and that's, or I think they're, what they're doing is they're hinting at going after companies for not hiring people on the basis of arrest records, or, you know, the type of, or conduct that's distinctly connected to the performance of the job or the essential functions of the job.
They're running a flag up a pole.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
Maureen?
Collapse. Yeah.
You happy now?
I am.
Okay. Okay, no poach agreements. Google, Apple, Pixar, Lucasfilm, Adobe, Intel, and Intuit conspired to eliminate competition for skilled labor. These companies tried to suppress employee compensation by entering into no poach agreements. They agreed not to hire each other's employees, even if they voluntarily applied to the other company. And they said they would notify the current employers if the employees tried to switch between them. Right?
Yeah.
You know about that?
Yeah, I believe the Department of Justice has gone after these companies under the antitrust laws, that it violates antitrust laws.
Yeah. Because it's I think that was in 2010. And but what happened was, and they said, you guys can't do this. They have all kinds of evidence. And in 2005, Adobe CEO, he emailed Steve Jobs, and he said that, Senior Vice President for Human Resources said, Bruce and Steve Jobs have an agreement that we're not to solicit any Apple employees and vice versa. And a woman from Pixar sent off an email inside the company. She said, we have with Apple, a gentleman's agreement that's similar to our agreement with Lucasfilm. So these guys were all saying, we're not going to hire from each other. And so the Department of Justice said, no, you can't do that because it ruins competitiveness. There's a law that supports competition in business. Is that right?
Sherman Antitrust Act, I believe it is.
Okay. So, but then there's a class action suit by these employees saying that they lost money and career potential during that period. Has that been decided yet?
I don't know. I don't know if that part's been decided or even
find any evidence of it. But that's wild. That's like sometimes, you know, you'll get a recruiter, you get a client who says, don't take anybody from that company. Is that legit?
It could be if it could be under isolated circumstances. My understanding with the Adobe and Apple, Microsoft, all these companies with that, it was what's we would call pattern and practice. They did this regularly and kind of monopolized, or were attempting to create a monopoly on the free flow of labor and commerce in the U.S. So that's where the Department of Justice was coming from relative to the antitrust statutes. But if you're doing it on a micro level, maybe for certain types of jobs, it kind of relates back to the conflict of interest thing we talked about a few minutes ago. You know, not owning an interest in another company's stock or ownership interest in a competing company.
So it's legal to say, don't bring me any company people from this company or that company or that company. That's not bias against them, and it's not bias against business. Is that right?
Well, it's biased against business. I don't think it you can make a pretty strong argument. It's not illegal as long as it's not a pattern of practice and it doesn't substantially restrict commerce or labor.
Well, there's a rumor in that that I can see, and that's Google said in their defense, well, we use LinkedIn. Well, let me go back to, it's not just that they wouldn't hire each other's employees. They wouldn't even reach out to each other's employees.
Reach out's a bad word you're not supposed to use here.
Okay. Coaching.
Reach out.
I think
they wouldn't call,
coaching.
Telephone call
yeah.
each other's employees. And let me go back on that. Google said in their defense, well, we use LinkedIn. We send in mails through LinkedIn and the Internet and email. And the Justice Department said, if you're not calling, if you're not actively cold calling, using the telephone, you're not recruiting. That's basically what they said as I see it.
That's an interesting distinction there. it sounds the same as just going after another employee to me. I mean, we see this type of stuff in non-compete agreements too. So,
Maureen, do you want to ask anything else? I have a follow-up question.
No, I don't.
This is your baby. I know you were going crazy about it forever.
Well,
you have something to say?
Let me say something. Is this a big thing? I see it as a big thing.
I think it is.
And it's going to really impact staffing and recruiting. Human resources. But nobody's talking about it.
It definitely
Hello,
impacts
Brenda.
Against staffing and recruiting. And, you know, this, again, also this relates back to the ruse calling topic we've discussed before, too, which is probably, you know, it could be one of the reasons why people engage in ruse calling or ruse contacting because they're trying to get around this informal or this unofficial prohibition.
Okay, but listen, let's say you're an employee in the company. That's definitely holding you back. I mean, you can't go to another company for better money. You can't go to another company for advancement because, you know, it's like they're the seniors and you're the serfs and you can't move within your country. It's like living in Russia.
Well, there's a class action lawsuit filed on behalf of engineers.
Yeah. But let's say you go to a company. Yeah, we know that. We just said it, Maureen.
No, it's different. It's different. There's a class action lawsuit filed on behalf of employees, and there's also a Department of Justice action, but the Department of Justice action, as I understand it, has been put to bed. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
You must have been sleeping with Jerry when I said it a few minutes
ago.
Okay?
I don't like that accusation. Never have, never will.
Okay.
But several engineers have come forward, and they're involved in a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, but let's say you haven't launched a lawsuit, you don't know what's going on, but you wonder. You're in a company, and you wonder, do they have agreements with other companies
Nobody's
that I can't
calling
move there?
You.
Yeah.
Nobody's calling
I mean,
you.
Right. So can you find out? How can you find out if your company has a no-poach agreement with other companies in the field? Can you ask?
Yeah, you can ask. And I think also you can use that, depending on what the answer is, you could use that as justification to leave company and go work for a competitor if there's no other agreement. So if you're talking about if leaving company A and going to work for company B, and you ask company B, hey, I want to know, you know, at the outset, do you have a non-poaching or, you know, non-hiring sort
that's
of agreement?
That's the kind of question, though, that's like a red flag. Don't hire this guy. He's a troublemaker, right?
I don't think so. I think, to me, it's due diligence. Both sides want to engage in as much due diligence as possible, and I think it kind of shows that you're aware that you're up on the trend.
I'm surprised you're so naive, Charles. Sorry. You know, you guys have a no poaching. It's like saying I want to leave. I'm not even in your company, and I'm thinking about leaving. Or once I'm in, I'm not happy. It's like saying I'm not happy here. I want to look around. It's giving the game away.
Well, a lot of people enter into business arrangements with an exit plan explicitly or you know, in mind when they enter into the agreement.
I've never heard of that. Everybody
like a
always sell
agreement.
I'm sorry?
Like a buy-sell agreement.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's analogous to that.
Okay, well, you guys have a different idea than my idea. My impression is that as soon as, and this is what everybody says, that's why they say don't take a counteroffer. Once you've shown that you're interested, you're not happy there, you're interested in going somewhere else, they'll never trust you again. So this is like saying, hey, I got my eyes open. It's like telling everybody.
Well, you want to know, too, though, if the former company, if these companies are engaged in any sort of antitrust that they're going to use against, that company A could use against you if you go to company B. So, I mean, it's in the interest of, you know, full disclosure, so to speak.
Okay. Okay.
I have another question. What if you signed an employment contract? What do you call it?
Non-compete?
A non-compete agreement with your employer.
Or a non-solicitation, too.
Yeah, and then you discovered this. You asked somebody in HR, do you have an agreement with Apple not to poach from each other, and they're stupid enough to say yes. Would that work to do away with your agreement, your non-compete? You said before it's a reason to leave and go work for a competitor. Would that nullify an agreement?
Probably not. I mean, what's in writing is going to take precedence or priority over what's...
What if you got it in writing from the stupid HR person who said, yeah, we don't hire from Apple?
Yeah, they're going to put it in writing.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean...
Nobody seems to be paying much attention to this. It's pretty dumb to me, but...
Yeah, I never put anything past anyone. It could, you know, I could see somebody putting that in writing, and if they do, that could be a modification of what was previously agreed to. It's going to... You're going to have to look at the particular circumstances. It's not an easy – this isn't a simple yes or no type of question.
You'd have to argue it out.
Yeah.
It was a headline in the paper today. Top Canadian scientist, an award-winning student caught in blatant plagiarism. They had an article. They stole most of it apparently from some scientists at MIT and the University of California, and they were going to publish it in a journal – that this top scientist was the editor for. So they're both of them are professors at the University of Waterloo, very famous technical university in Canada. So first of all, can you be fired for plagiarism? And secondly, if you are fired and you go to another company, can they not hire you because of that? Is it like, you know, you stole at your company?
Yes and yes. I mean, we see this. This comes up all the time with reporters and people, scientists, researchers all over. You know, ironically, attorneys are notorious for plagiarism because we're constantly recycling past precedent, other arguments, and other motions, documents, things like that. So,
well, I don't understand. How can a lawyer be a plagiarist?
Well, we're constantly referring to or constantly basically just taking other arguments.
But what are you writing? What is he writing? I mean, what's the lawyer writing?
Some other judges, some other attorneys, motion decisions, something like that.
In court?
Yeah, it happens a lot.
You mean you can't just refer to what someone else did? You have to put it in your own words?
No, you can refer to what somebody – I mean, there's attorneys – let me be clear on this. There's attorneys who are writing what other attorneys have written without specifically citing to that attorney, basically legal doctrine.
Uh-huh.
So what happens is that, you know, if you're lifting it word for word from a public source and you're not citing that source, that's what the concept of plagiarism or what the idea of plagiarism is.
Okay. If you're recruiting attorneys, lawyers, and you present somebody – your client might say, you know what, this guy's got a bad reputation for that. I'm not interested in her. Is that right?
Yeah, that's something that could come up.
Okay.
Yeah, and it could be legal.
Okay. What if you hire somebody as a manager? Were you here for the introduction? I don't know. You came in late. Were you here?
I think I came in a couple minutes late.
Okay. Well, Steve Jobs was a bully, right?
Yeah.
And some people think that he the way he managed people was great. But some people consider that to be a bully. So let's
Can I say something now? They're saying that Steve Jobs was at the bottom of the instigator of that Justice Department action. Conveniently, he's dead today. But go on. I just wanted to make that point.
Conveniently
dead. He made the agreement. Didn't you hear that email? Two CEOs?
Yeah, but you said so-and-so has an agreement with Steve Jobs. Really, what they're saying is he was the one that reached out to these other companies, and he was at the bottom.
Reach out. What is it with you in this reach out today, Maureen? Come on. You've been away too long.
Called, wrote, whatever they did. Smoke signal.
So he snitched to the government on his own agreement. Is that, does that
make
sense?
No, that he was the one that started it all.
Oh, I believe
that.
That
he said to Intel,
problem.
We won't hire your employees if you don't hire ours. He said to, who are the others that are involved, Intuit, we won't hire your employees if you don't hire ours.
Well, he had a relationship with Lucasfilm because Pixar was his company, right? Pixar, he owned Pixar, right? He bought them
so.
Big thing. Yes, it was his big strategic move in life, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
But anyway.
But this started back in 96 and 95.
I'm talking about bullies. You hire a bully, like this guy who says, everybody in my company has to have no filters. They don't have to worry about anybody else's feelings. We expect them to fight with each other. We think that's good. And so, you know, if somebody doesn't like that, the new manager comes in, he or she starts firing people. Because, you know, they're kind of shy, they're not straightforward, they, you know, they have sensitive feelings. Could that be a complaint? Could you hire a known bully? I mean, is that just a change of culture, or is that an issue? Is that a human resources issue?
I think it's a change of culture and largely a human resources issue, but you raise the bullying issue, and that's becoming a very debated, contentious debate over whether or not that should be illegal now. In the workplace, and I don't think that I'm with the people who say it shouldn't be illegal, that this is really a cultural personality sort of thing, and we shouldn't be regulating behavior that's not related to the protected classes, sex, national origin, age, things like that. That we're going too far.
You mean there might be anti-bully laws at work?
Yeah, there's states that are talking about doing it. Illinois, where I live, is. There's some talk about or debate in the legislature about that now.
Well, what would define a bully?
That's part of the problem, is there's no clear definition of what a bully is. You know, where do you draw the line?
Some people don't like Jerry.
Yeah.
Some people
again,
think
I'm
you're a bully
punch you in
animal.
The face.
Okay.
And I don't. Okay. This we're going a little bit too far in this and. A lot of these jurisdictions. There's another law that was passed recently or the National Labor Relations Board is in the U.S. is talking about going after like some of this type of stuff too. Various sorts of employment language, like in human resources or employee handbooks, things like that.
Okay. Look, we had another regular guest, just like you. You're a return guest. Alexandra Levitt is also a return guest. And she writes books. She wrote a book called Blind Spots, and she said, watch what you put online in your blog. It's going to have repercussions, or it could have. And I gave her an example. When the Occupy Wall Street protest was going on, Susan Sarandon, she went to that Zuccotti Park, and she told the media that the U.S. has to imitate the Arab Spring. We see where that has gone, haven't
That's
we?
That's going
in
great.
Libya. In Egypt, Arab Spring, we got to imitate them. No way. So let's say you wrote about that and said she was a total idiot on your blog. I asked Alexandra. She said, don't say that. I said, Alexandra, it's obvious that she's nuts. And she said, don't say it. Don't say it. You don't know who you're dealing with at work. It could come back and bite you. So let's say you're passed over or you're not hired somewhere. Is that, you know, and you think it's because of your blog. Is that an issue?
No, I don't.
I mean, I saw Bill Clinton speak at the convention, the Democratic convention. He said, those Republicans, we don't hate them, but they hate us. Right?
Yeah. I don't think it's a legal issue. It's more of a human resources related issue. However, there are some government agencies, again, like the Equal Employment Opportunity in the U.S., like the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission or National Labor Relations Board, they're going after companies, even non-union companies, for what's called concerted activity, where basically if there's a number of employees who are voicing this opinion and then they're all fired together or all disciplined together, lose something on the job together, these agencies are going after these companies now. So this is something that's being fought about in our legal system.
Can you give an example?
The Facebook type stuff, where you have people talking on Facebook about their working conditions, bad bosses, things like that. That's always coming up. And the National Labor Relations Board has been going after non-union companies, and they've issued guidelines, even explicitly, you know, issued these guidelines about what you can do, what a company can or can't do relative to social media.
Okay, so if I go on Facebook and complain about Jerry, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can't fire me if I'm working for him. Is that right?
Well, no.
I'd never even hire you, dude.
See, and this is where we get into these shades of gray, because if you're making comments, over-the-top comments against somebody, it's a one-to-one sort of thing, and it's not, you're not representing or talking about a specific group of employees, like, I hate Jerry, and then Jerry doesn't hire you, yeah, I mean, that's legit for Jerry not to hire you.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What
so I've
saying?
Already got plenty
like the way
of that.
Maureen talks, oh, with this, reach out. What is that? And it's okay for her to say, why should I hire this guy who doesn't like the way I speak? Is that because I read it on his Facebook site. And, in fact, I'm not going to hire any of those people who don't
now
like
you're getting
reach
into,
out.
See, now you're getting into the shades of gray when you say any of these people. Now you're talking about what's concerted or, you know, group-associated activity.
Kathy Manis put on her LinkedIn profile that she's a contributor to the Recruiting Animal Show. If someone hates this show and hates me, and there's people who do,
it's a gamble.
Yeah, can she get ruled out? Can they say that she's an idiot? I'm not going to hire her.
Yeah, they can say that, and it could be perfectly legitimate that.
But what if 100 people put there that I've been a contributor? So they're going to fire. They're going to rule out 100 people.
I would then then we're getting into the shade of gray. Then we're the National Labor Relations. My guess is that the government's going to go after an employer like who does that. They're going to go after him, and the employer's going to be embroiled in a legal dispute, and whether or not it's
I'm moving on. This is a question that's kind of not really related to recruiting, but I'm just curious. Unions apparently are declining because of automation and offshoring.
Good
right?
Deal.
Is that true?
Among other reasons, too, yeah.
What are the other reasons?
Well, the other reasons are there's a lot of anti-union sentiment in the U.S., especially in the private sector, the feeling that basically unions are too expensive for companies.
You got some unions taking care of your kids right up there in Chicago right now, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. There is a major dispute on that. So.
Okay, but do you think that you work with unions are part of your job, right?
Yeah.
Okay, does that mean the end of the middle class because there's no one going to make, industrial jobs pay well?
I think it could mean the end of the middle class. It's not necessarily true because there's a lot of laws that have been passed since the U.S.'s original union laws were passed, like the Title VII and Equal Employment Act, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the ADA. I think the U.S. is more liberal than it used to be, and I think there's a lot more going for the middle class than there used to be when these union laws were first passed. But the statistics don't seem to lie that we do have a declining middle class in the U.S.
Yeah,
I just don't believe that
issue.
Unions are the answer. That's my personal opinion. Unions aren't the answer.
Don't answer that. Do you have to get it?
I don't know who that is. It's not me.
I thought that was your phone. Okay.
No.
Look, if a recruiter leaves a company, is she entitled to the commissions she hasn't received? I assume yes. Am I right?
It could be yes. Again, it depends on when the commissions were received and was she really involved with. I mean, if she truly was in fact involved in obtaining those commissions, she probably, more likely than not, is going to be owed that commission.
Okay, but let's say they've got a one-year guarantee. So if the person doesn't stay a full year or for whatever reason, the recruiting company has to replace that person or give somebody back, replace them for a 50% fee or something like that. So can they hold your money back for a year?
Without an agreement, I don't think so. Without an explicit agreement, I don't think they could do that.
Really, even if they have a contract with the client that they do have to pay it back. So
if
they would be liable, and then
if the contract doesn't say that they can hold the money back, then I think it's assumed that, you know, the way these contracts usually work or the way people usually work is that you get paid based on what you've done and not based on a hypothetical or not based on something that could happen, 6 months or a year down the line.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, there's something else I was... Anybody got a question? I'm almost done.
No.
Anybody else?
No.
Okay. Jerry, I'm surprised you didn't hang up a long time ago. Sorry, if you're not interested, don't feel obligated, okay? But I just said
I don't have a question. Stop projecting,
okay,
man.
I'm reading your tone, okay? Is that all right with me?
I've mesmerized Jerry.
Yeah.
Okay, so something I don't understand is, like, you know, these options. I know I'm not going to be able to cover it all right now, but if I read something, is it legal to provide an employee, what was it, no salary, but offer options that vest with a cliff? I don't know what that means.
Options that vest with a cliff?
Yeah, do you know what that means?
No, actually, I don't.
Jerry, do you know?
No.
All the startup discussions I found on Quora, they're all talking about this, you know, vesting and cliffs. And cliff obviously means some kind of deadline, right?
Yeah, it's not a person, or the name of a person, I guess.
It's not a person. It's not a person, okay?
And that just sounds bizarre. It sounds pretty bizarre to me, but a company in the U.S. is going to have problems with various labor, like the Fair Labor Standards Act and a lot of the state labor acts and regarding wage and hour issues. I think you're opening up a can of worms there.
Okay. I think I'll make this my last question. It has to do with separation pay. If I have a candidate and he or she can't come to an agreement with a previous employer on separation and you know, my client, I check references, and they don't like the person for that reason, or she's suing the company because she thinks she should get more because of these deals in the pipeline that aren't closed, and, you know, whatever, length of service, loyalty, hard work, whatever. And the client company, the new employer, says, you know what, now that I hear the reference that she's doing that troublemaker, I'm not really keen on her. She might have legitimate complaints with her past employer. Is that okay for them to do that? That's legal?
No, I don't think it is legal. What you're getting into is retaliatory sort of action. Mm. And if there's any – and we're also talking potentially about collusion, again, within the industries and whistleblowing type stuff. So my guess is – or not my guess, but my answer would be probably not
really?
Legal to do that.
Really?
Yeah, if the person is truly a troublemaker, like maybe if they're saying things like, I'm going to do whatever I can to tear that company down, then we're getting into a different sort of realm. You know, we're getting into, like, libelous sort of conduct or, you know, maybe slander. I'm going to tear this company apart and, you know, bring them down to their knees. That's different. But if basically what you're talking about is, I sued this company because they've always discriminated against females, and you know, I'm a female, and they discriminate against me, and I'm going to, you know, take them down because of that. And I don't know if you're going to be able to justify not hiring that person.
Okay, I find that interesting because I thought that for sure is something that, you know, might bias them against you, and that they really could rule you out for that reason. But you're saying if they've got a person might have a legitimate complaint that, you know, he or she has helped put together deals, given a lot of value to the company, and deserves more. Okay. Charles, do you have any? Charles A. Krugel, KRUGEL.com. You want to give out your phone number or any other contact information if somebody in Chicago wants to get in touch with you?
Or make that threat, sure. It's 312-804-3851.
Any other parting words, Charles?
No, I appreciate you having me on again, Recruiting Animal.
Thank you for coming. Bye-bye!
Bye.
See ya.
Hey, Jerry, your music's not coming on.
Did anybody even call into the show today? I mean, I can't work with no callers. I mean, I need to start having like my own rant ready for the after show. Is anybody still here? Maureen, are you still here? Anybody? Great.
Maureen's still there, Jerry.
Hold on. I'm going to call on my cell phone. You guys can listen to this.
Actually, I'm still on recruiting.
Hi, this is Jerry.
You're not allowed to be on, Charles.
Oh,
me neither, actually. You got to hang up.
Right,
Thank you. Take care.
That sounds great. Yeah, it sounds super. October the 1st. Okay. Hold on, Hannibal. That's great. Thanks for taking care of me, Donna. Okay. Bye. Okay. We had a
Did you just take a business call?
That was a door replacement call.
Oh,
we bought a new sliding door for the back of our house.
Mm-hmm. Where's Maureen? She's still there? She's still on the line.
Who knows?
You see, I remember once, a few years ago, it was just you, me, and Maureen on the... There was an after show. Oh, somebody called in here, wants to talk with you. Something's wrong with my browser or something. There's a delay. I'm trying to... Area code 718 just called in. There's a bit of delay. There you go, 718. Talk to him.
718, your line's open. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Who is it?
David Manister.
Hey, man. See what you've got here, Animal? This is a classic case of the real people know when to call in.
No, Jerry.
Yep,
I was listening online the whole time.
All right.
You
know, man,
Dave,
I just
heard.
Why
don't you talk to him about that, Jerry?
What's that? Hey.
Why don't you talk? Dave retired last week.
Yeah, tell us about it, man. What's going on?
What's going on is that I've been doing this for 14 years, and it's been a really long time, and I've really loved it and enjoyed it, and it's time to find a new challenge for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the perfect guy to take the company to the next level, and the timing was right, and we're doing it.
All right, man. So what are you going to do?
I don't know. For the next few months, I'm just focused on transitioning everything over to Ron and making sure everything goes smoothly, making sure that he has everything he needs from me. And then after that, I do not have any plans yet. So
I thought you were
going to
go get your CHRP.
no plans for that either.
What's that?
His HR qualification and get a job.
I'm definitely not looking for a day job. Whatever I do next is going to be entrepreneurial.
You know, Dave, I was on the ERE Expo. Jerry, is it okay since there's not that many people here if I stick around for the after show?
I'll yield the balance of my time. To the gentleman.
No, you're in charge. I'll just be like a regular guy chatting here. I'll just be part to fill it up. I was actually participating in the ERE Expo. Jerry wasn't there. He's usually in our regular in the Twitter stream of these events, and I enjoy them, and I appreciate Dave providing that stuff to us. And I was watching
in the old days, man.
Uh-huh, that was before you. Okay, see, now you're too serious for that stuff. But anyway, there was a very good discussion between Todd Raphael and the Lance, with an HR person from, I can't remember the name of the company, right? But I started tweeting about she had very nice long legs. They were on a couch there, and don't worry about this, Dave. I'm not going to take it anywhere embarrassing. But anyway, so I just said she had nice legs, and somebody from her company started talking to me about something, and I said, you know, I was just joking around. I said I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at her legs, and somebody let me know that this is an HR crowd, and I was freaking people out. Jerry, was that bad? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Maybe. In the HR world, I mean, you're not supposed to put up girly pictures in your office and stuff like that either. I've been thinking about
it.
But
isn't that freedom of speech?
I should have talked to the lawyer about it, right?
Though I believe, though, that is trumped by...
Freedom of speech is a legal term. It's not a common sense term.
And I believe that's trumped by hostile work environment.
Maybe. Yeah. I also told Jessica Lee that, you know, she might think about going blonde, but It wasn't malicious. I didn't mean
anything.
You
ever notice how hot chicks never have a problem with pictures of other hot chicks?
I never noticed that.
It's
really
the non-hot ones that get concerned.
If I was a girl, I wouldn't want to go into an office that was full of porno stuff on the wall. So
I
agree with that.
I'm not promoting porno.
Okay. Unfortunately, I didn't know that the ERE Expo was on, and that was almost the only thing I saw. But, Dave, I have to compliment you. That was a very good discussion, even though some people thought I was out of line. I enjoyed it, and I live blogged it all the way through.
Dave, are you going to stay in the HR space?
I don't know what I'm doing next, Jerry. I'm doing this to kind of find a new challenge.
How about a restaurant?
Maybe that's in the HR space, and maybe that's not.
What about a restaurant? A lot of really famous people that cash out on stuff.
How about the ERE Cafe, like they do at the Republican conventions?
And you could, like, name little sandwiches after stuff. The bottleneck grilled cheese.
Yeah.
The Albright walleye fish sandwich.
Yeah, baby.
The Albright Flanders.
Oh, yeah.
The recruiting animal mystery meat burger.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Veggie burger for recruiting animal, please. Maureen, why didn't you comment when I was telling that story? Were you listening?
Which story? You were telling a lot of stories.
No, I talked about that girl's legs in public. I mean,
in the beginning?
Lighthearted.
Today?
Okay, forget it, Maureen.
I wasn't watching the
I know you weren't watching. It's a radio show.
No, I mean, what are you talking about? Why didn't I comment today or why didn't I comment then?
Dave, are you staying in the country or is that up in the air as well?
Oh, I have no plans to move anywhere. I love New York.
Okay. Back to you, Jerry.
What are some of the options, though, Dave? I mean, let us help you explore your ideas here. I mean, just the general area. Aviation?
I'm an entrepreneur. I've always been an entrepreneur. My first idea that I ran
with
happened.
Did you see my comment on the string? I asked you to write something about, getting
way
something
to talk
started.
All over him, Maureen.
No, getting something started and the difference between that and running something and how some people can do one, some people can do the other. In my opinion, very few can do both.
It's a very different skill set, managing people and managing a company than it is like kind of hustling and starting something up. I definitely enjoy the startup phase much more than I enjoy the management phase, and I'm probably better at it.
People would be really interested in hearing about that.
Man, I picture you really being a great hot dog cart guy then. No employees, it's just you in the street.
Wouldn't that be great, no employees? You guys, listen to me.
Hey, those dudes make some money.
Listen to me. I used to sell small businesses. I spent 22 years doing that. You know what the number one reason people sold their businesses was?
No, we don't know.
Nobody knows. They couldn't stand their employees anymore.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't because they weren't profitable. I mean, you can't sell an unprofitable
business.
That's
what happens when you bring your spouse into your employment.
That's tough. That's really tough.
You're not saying anything about the Lance here indirectly, are you, Maureen?
The who?
Or Todd.
I am.
Yeah, read between the lines, baby.
No, you know what? I don't know Dave that well, but I've always thought that he was a great man. I'm going to lay it on heavy. I might change my mind next week, but for the last few years I've had, limited but interesting contact with him, and I've always been impressed.
You know why?
I don't always agree with him, but I have. Go ahead.
He's a man of principle.
I don't know about that. I just, certain things impress me, okay?
He doesn't say much. Nobody can really.
No, but he's willing to fight.
Nobody can really know Dave too well.
You're willing to take people on, aren't you?
In a civilized tone. He's not just a flamethrower like some of those dickwads on Facebook. Yeah, there's some idiots over there,
man.
He's
a gentleman. Dave is a gentleman.
He's a gentleman. Is he up for any kind of animal award then? Lifetime achievement?
He already had that. He won that a few years ago.
Lifetime achievement award?
Yeah, he did.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a little...
Should we be talking about the show?
How about the first ever double
lifetime achievement award? He won a lifetime achievement award. He put it up on his... He reminded me that he put it up as his Twitter background.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question, Dave?
Sure.
Is there a sale of ERE in the offing? I kind of sense that.
No, no, there is absolutely not. This is
wouldn't you love to be acquired by some communications company?
I don't think that the time is right now.
Okay.
The purpose of this, if I wanted to sell it, I would have sold it while I was in charge. And
I think you're smarter than that.
Well, I don't think he is, Maureen.
This is what's going through my head. I don't know how smart I am, but what's going through my head is that I found a person with amazing CEO experience of a company that understands recruiting, mm-hmm. that understands HR, understands publishing, understands the conference business, and has run a company that did all of those things in the past. And he is the person that will be able to grow ERE moving forward. And that's kind of what the rationale for this was. It has nothing to do with selling the company.
Do you maintain a title then? Are you still owner, president, what?
Founder. You can never take that away from me.
Isn't he the chairman of the board now? We'll call him chairman now.
No,
governor, we'll call him chairman.
Give Michael any ideas.
Chairman Dave, or would you prefer?
I don't mind
chairman
calling
now,
him the chairman when he calls in. I don't mind. No, the chairman.
Yeah, I like it.
The chairman, I like it. Good one, Maureen.
Yeah.
Jerry's gonna start thinking that I'm a socialist if you go chairman.
No.
I want to go on the record right now, though. I see a sale in the offing.
Really?
I can smell
these
things.
Well, Maureen, you are on the record with your prediction.
Okay, I can smell these things.
I am denying it, and in a year we can revisit.
Do you
I'm not saying a year. I'm not saying a year, but, you know, the next 3 to 5.
Shit's so open-ended, it's like making
a long time.
Yeah.
Goes by quicker than you think.
Right. You're just back. You're covering yourself now, Maureen. Come on.
No, I'm not.
If
you're
going to
say something like that, you know, stick your neck out. Don't make it so watered down.
What do you think I just did?
You didn't do anything, yeah.
Really
went out
on a limb, Maureen.
Yeah.
I don't hear any of you guys saying.
Because we're not dumb.
The same.
We're not stupid, Maureen.
Okay, yeah, right.
Neither are you, though. I wasn't saying that you were. I just said
we were. Yeah, you were. You were saying that I was stupid.
That's why I'm clarifying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, we're about getting nowhere with this thing.
You think so?
I'm no longer in charge of it. Yeah, I'm just not feeling it lately.
You
know, Peggy McKee
off,
was great. See, that was perhaps the high point of the year.
Yeah, it
we
was.
Still got 3 months to go.
Yeah, well, you can sign off for a while. Take a vacation.
I did.
Another one?
I did.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Take a vacation. I mean, it's okay with me. What do you think, Dave, about the idea if I, you know, it's cost me $500 a year to do this show now. And so I was thinking, first of all, going to Google Plus. They have the Hangout that allows you to broadcast to the general public, not just the 10 people on the call or whatever they call it. Or I could stay here, a half an hour show, no intro, and then a 15-minute after show. The only thing is the after show would not be streamed. What do you think of that? And that would be free.
Before Dave says anything, let me say I think it would be a great, great, great product for Dave to sponsor.
No,
I've
he's already
that
said
before.
That. Yeah, I'm the kind of guy who might comment on somebody's legs. It's not something they're interested in, okay? So
you
let's
create
put that
controversy.
To the side.
There's nothing wrong
I'm
with
just
that.
Asking for some free consulting from a guy we just said is you know, fairly smart. We agree we're going to call him the chairman. So, chairman, what do you think of that?
I think you should do the show that you love. I think you should do a show. You should. $500 isn't a lot of money for an entire year. You should figure out what the show is that you want to do, and you should do that show and figure out how to make the money
You know,
work.
The show's been sort of in the doldrums for a while, and we're trying to look for something that's going to liven it up. If it's a half an hour show, that's people have less time to get bored, right? And then,
yeah, but today the show, I don't think you could have covered it in half an hour.
Oh well, I didn't have to ask you any questions. I found it interesting.
Lawyer
but
talk.
I
mean, come on, man. Chuck is great.
You know what, Jerry?
Very good guy.
Jerry, wait a second. The first time this guy was on, you were on, Maureen was on, Carl Chapman was on. It was a very lively show,
yeah.
And I thought it was for me. It was very interesting today
okay.
as well. Not for everybody. Okay.
I'm not even going to do a show score today because, A, we don't have enough people to qualify for an official score.
Well, how do you know? Have you taken a roll call? Who's on the line?
There are just three of us.
Oh.
We need four.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's a...
Nope, no quorum.
Nope, don't have it.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, animal.
Okay.
I mean, I do what I can with what is in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
We're too close to the subject to give.
Yeah. I've been eating perch for 3 days, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Did you catch that in your lake?
Lake Erie.
Lake Erie.
The people's lake.
Yeah. Is your freezer full of fish?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, good.
Yep. Well, there you have it.
So, Animal, what are you going to do? You're going to go to a half an hour? I don't think that's a bad idea.
Dave didn't give me a straight answer. I don't know.
I gave you a straight answer. I think you got to...
Sorry, wait a second. Yeah, he gave me a straight answer, but it wasn't yes or no. It wasn't don't remember. Sorry, I closed my browser.
Jeez.
Okay, you didn't say do this, do that. It was do whatever you want to do, right? So
it was pretty noncommittal. Go with your heart.
It was kind of like, yeah.
The answer was,
you're
going to
sell sometime in the next 100 years.
To determine what you're doing for hours and hours and hours of your time every week, you should be figuring out how you want to position the show and how you want to, what the format should be. And then if it's $500 to do it, then you should do it that way. And if there's a better way to do it,
it's not what I like doing. It's what makes the show work. But I want to, we'll just leave that. Jerry, I already had the music queued up because I thought you were
going
to
Yeah, but he just made a good point. You do spend hours before the show preparing for it. That I know.
Huh. That's true.
Sounds like a waste of time. But
well,
you can tell when he's prepared.
You can tell when he's got questions queued up and he's prepared for it.
Some shows are worth an hour.
Yeah.
Some shows really ought to die after about 20 minutes.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
That's true, and it's really hard to.
Well, maybe I should just cut them off. Yeah. Okay.
Is there an option where you can do a half an hour, but if you need an hour, take it?
Do whatever I want. No, I'd have to commit. But so let's see. We got this guy, a comedian, B.J. Mendelsohn, coming on next week. I never heard of him. He said something funny on Twitter, and he told me he wants to be on for a full hour. Then there's a no-show. And then Mitch Sullivan, who promises that he's going to be very angry, that guy from the England, he's coming on. So he'll probably be okay for an
hour.
What's he
going to be angry about?
I don't know. He's an aggressive recruiter. So some of the people coming up, they're going to have an hour in them, but not everybody will. But the thing is, the last thing I'll say about this, if someone who's got an hour in them and the show's only half an hour, they can come back, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, I got a feeling. I'd like to go to Google and see. But the thing is, you'll be able to see us then. People will be able to see us. So you either have to dress up or cover yourself up, one or the other. It might be, you know, we might go to Burkas or something like that for the show.
Can
we put our two fingers across our
eyes?
Hey,
Pardon me, Dave?
You want to just hear a funny side story?
Okay.
Two guys were out of town on a fishing trip last weekend.
Uh-huh.
Was one named Jerry?
Kind of.
Okay, go on.
And so these guys were going perch fishing, right? In just kind of a small fishing village in eastern Ohio. And at the hotel, we stayed there. They stayed there two nights, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Well,
that's pretty country, isn't it?
Conneaut is nice.
Yeah.
But so we're down at the hotel, and the we were surprised to see that they had a DJ on Friday night when there was nobody even there. It was just me. It was just these two guys and the bartender, and I think the bartender's boyfriend.
Well, that's enough.
Well, we went back in there. They went back in there the next night. Okay, I got to admit something. This was me. We went back in there Saturday night, and they were cutting up all this stuff, making these big Greek pillars, kind of like Obama on his inauguration or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Just
yeah,
big,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, what's going on? They said, big toga party tonight. Well, really? I've never been to a toga party, personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, you weren't at university. I've never been to one either, and
yeah,
I was.
That's true. So we're like, hey, that's cool. The crowd's gathering. Nobody wore a toga party. The bartender, the waitress, and this dude that made all of this stuff for this toga party, they were bummed out. They're like, man, nobody even did the toga party. There's probably, I don't know, 30 people there.
Mm-hmm.
So my buddy and I, this was later on in the evening after we were.
You came back wearing tablecloths?
We came back. We went to our hotel room, took the sheets off the beds, and made our own togas and went down there. We were the life of the party. At least we thought we were.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were 30 people thinking, look at those old freaks. But it was a toga party. We made it official.
Good for you, Jer.
Yeah.
Jer, you got to check out Phony's picture over on Magic Method. Kind of looks like you. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. You've been a fantastic after show audience. I
Thank
couldn't
you.
Think of a greater crowd.
Thank you, Jer.
But,
Jer, I'm not mad at you. No. I don't think I'm mad at you. I'm
Why would you be mad at me?
I'm not.
How would anybody be mad at me?
Just because you called me stupid.
No, that's why I clarified.
You call me anything you want as long as you pay me.
Dad,
you went into quicksand. That was a bad move, Jer.
I clarified. Can I just retract that?
Okay.
Can I stricken that
from
the record?
It's out there.
No.
It's
going to
ruin
no.
my reputation. I'm going to sue.
Okay, everybody, take it easy. Let me know if there's a toga party anywhere. We'll be there.